What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And we're back with you today, April 26th, a Wednesday, the day before the NFL draft. But we're talking NBA playoffs and NBA picks on this show. Again, my name is Chris R. Farley, professional handicapper and sports betting extraordinaire. I don't know if that's true. Self-diagnosis. But love sports betting. We love talking sports betting strategy and philosophy and tactics and tenets on this podcast, a weekly sports betting podcast for you where we go over our picks. Yeah, we give out free picks, but we also bring on great guests and have great conversations about how to win long-term doing the sports betting thing. Today is going to be a solo show. I was going to have Eric Rocco from the Oddsbreakers on my show today. He's come down with a little illness. We know how that can be in today's world. So he should be joining us next week or sometime soon. But for today, it's just me. It's just your boy, Farley Betts. And we're going over these NBA games on April 26th slate, a Wednesday. I'm going to just give you my thoughts on the NBA playoffs so far. We're doing pretty well, up 10 units so far in April. And a lot of those wins coming in the NBA playoffs. And I'm excited to keep on watching these NBA playoffs and talking about these games, because for the most part, they're really entertaining and they're really interesting. And let's get right to it, because we already have a team, two teams, coming out of the West, moving on to the second round between the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. And this should be a get your popcorn ready, fantastic series between two elite teams in the Western Conference, probably the two favorites to win the Western Conference coming into the playoffs. And I'm sure that hasn't changed now that they're going to meet each other again. Remember, the Suns had their way with the Nuggets. Was that last season in the NBA playoffs? I don't think the Nuggets forget that. Nuggets have home court advantage now, and this should be a really good battle between two really good offenses. We'll see which defense shows up more. I expect points in this series. I'll just start with that. You're probably going to get totals around the mid-220s. Yeah, you know, maybe that goes a little higher in some games, a little lower in some other games, but the mid-220s will probably be your average for this series and for every game in this series. And the way I'm looking at this game right now, just from a betting perspective to start, is I think there's a good reasoning to look at overs in this series. Why? Because both teams win with their offense, right? Now, the Nuggets, especially at home, are very potent. They go at a faster pace. And we've seen the kind of offense that they could bring to the NBA playoffs. I mean, they have been fantastic closers, right? Timberwolves, very feisty last night. They were leading through, I believe, the whole first half into the second half. But the Nuggets know how to close. They have a plethora of shooting talent on their starting five, but they have great depth as well. Nuggets, more depth. I would say more chemistry, because obviously a team that's been playing together for a long time without any new parts. And they have the size advantage, for sure. Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., they usually have a size advantage in a lot of teams. But they'll definitely have it on the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker, undersized. Chris Paul, obviously a little undersized. DeAndre Ayton, a little soft, a little skinny. So, you know, that's a thing, right? Nuggets should have plenty of open shots, but will they make those shots? Because right now the starting five for the Phoenix Suns is starting to hum, and I'm going to say it, and people know what my take on Devin Booker is. For the most part, I've seen him flail and panic in big game situations in the NBA playoffs a lot. And that's why I don't really believe that he's a top 10 player. He's a great player in this league, that he should be considered among the greats, because in my opinion, the greats do what Jimmy Butler did the other night. They can put the entire team on their shoulders and they can do it consistently. But I'll say this, Devin Booker is playing the best basketball of his career. No doubt about it. He's playing fantastic. Dropped 47 last night in a series winner against the Clippers, a game that they were also down. So he's showing up big in big moments, 25 points in the third quarter alone. Get out of here, Devin. That's good basketball. Aggressive and confident in his scoring to the rim, or whether he's taking a shot. And you know what? The Nuggets are another good fit for him defensively, I think, because just like we saw against the Clippers, Devin Booker, he's smaller, but he's quick, and he's better and better at getting open. Better and better at being more like Steph Curry, moving around without the ball, finding space, getting open, and he's definitely infiltrating that paint with more confidence. Got some moxie out there. So I think he's going to have his way again in the series. The way he's playing, I would not be reluctant to take him in his point totals or maybe his PAR, but more on points, right? Dude is just putting up almost over 40 points a game in the playoffs so far. So Devin Booker is playing really well. There's nothing bad I can say. I will just add this caveat. When he struggles is when defenses get really physical with him and his team, you know, faces adversity. We've seen him lose his cool in those situations before, many times before, actually, and then start missing shots and then not show up in the fourth quarter. Jury is still out if that part of Devin Booker's game has changed, but so far, so good. He will see more physical defenses if they get deeper in these playoffs, but I like this matchup for him against the Denver Nuggets. Now, another question, though. Is Kevin Durant okay being the number two? Because he is. So far, Kevin Durant is their number two. Now, he made some clutch shots last night, shots that took the Suns to the next level of that game, right? Separated them from the Clippers in the third quarter and fourth quarter, especially in the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant is still an all-world superstar, would absolutely be a starter in the NBA Olympic team if that happened this year. But so far, he's their number two, right? This is still Devin Booker's team, it seems. And a question you always have to ask yourself is eventually, let's say Booker keeps on taking those last second shots or keeps on dominating and, you know, ball control, calling out his shots, aggressive, confident. If I'm Kevin Durant, I love that, right? That's what Steph Curry did when Kevin Durant played with Steph Curry at times. But Steph Curry is also a really good teammate. And Devin Booker seems like a good teammate too. But is there going to be a clash between those two at a certain point? Because Kevin Durant has a huge ego. He literally calls himself like the second coming or something. He's like, he's the man. He's a god. That's what he thinks. So we'll see if that doesn't cause some division at a certain point. We'll see. One thing about the Suns that's very similar to Denver, so I don't think there's any real advantage here, but it's something that I look for in both of these teams. We talk about the archetypes of these teams. We're going to get to that more a little bit later on the show. But Denver doesn't have an enforcer, do they? You know, they're kind of light-footed. Same, the Suns are even more light-footed. Don't get me wrong. The Suns are smaller, and they absolutely, since they got rid of Jay Crowder, they don't have that physical enforcer-type guy on their team. But Denver is similar. I mean, maybe Jeff Green when he comes in there, maybe Aaron Gordon sometimes, but Aaron Gordon is more flashy. Like, he's huge, physical, but he's flashy, right? When these two teams face another Western Conference team, inevitably in the next round, which is probably going to be the Lakers or the Warriors or Kings, I think it's going to be the Warriors still. The Warriors and Lakers in particular have enforcers. Draymond Green, LeBron James, guys that can get really physical with you, really throw you off, really punch you in the chin and in the cheek and in the gut and expect you to keep on going, or you could tap out, right? You could tap out. But we've seen that from the Suns before, and we've seen it from Denver. Little soft sometimes in those situations. Little soft. Not the type of teams that can push through those situations sometimes. Again, that's an intangible, right? That's hard to measure. But it's true. Every NBA team, you kind of need that enforcer. And it's the modern day in the NBA, sure. There's a lot of offense, a lot of high scoring. Sometimes that can get it done alone, a lot of high scoring. A lot of offense, fast pace. We're seeing that from the Kings, even though their defense has really improved. But in the dog days of the NBA playoffs, you need an enforcer. And the Nuggets and Suns were built very similarly, very talented offensively, good team chemistry, really well coached, but no enforcer. So I think there's going to be a lot of high-scoring games in this series. I'm going to take Denver to win it 4-3, plus 380, getting some value there, obviously. And I like this series to go over 5.5 games. That's minus 200, so you're paying a lot of juice there, but I think it's worth it. Because I think this is going to be a very competitive series. Denver doesn't forget what the Suns did to them in the last NBA playoffs. Denver is a better team, more depth, in my opinion, than the Suns. But the Suns in that starting five is going to absolutely throw off the Nuggets at certain points. But my X factor is Jamal Murray. Because that dude is back to playing like bubble Jamal Murray. He's going off. Looks like one of the best pure shooters and best scorers in the NBA right now. Not arguable that he's a top three player in the NBA playoffs right now. Last night, willed his team again. Showed up. I think he put up, 35 points? He had that one game in game four in Minnesota where the Timberwolves did a really good job limiting him for a moment, but he still found his shots. Still found open shots. He just, a few of those rim and out. Little bad luck. But Jamal Murray brings this Denver Nuggets team to a different level. Because obviously, super talented with Jokic and Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon and KCP and Bruce Brown. And the depth and the kind of guys that they have in their team, they work really well together. But Jamal Murray can be that dude, right? He could be like Jimmy Butler going off against the Bucks. And I like that for Denver. And you need that when you got Devin Booker and Kevin Durant on the other end. Home court advantage goes to game seven, in my opinion. Denver pulls it off in a huge moment for that franchise. All right, when I talk about team archetypes, it's just something that's really important for me to do. Because, what is an archetype? What is an archetype, first of all? An archetype is a way to explain things, right? It's categorizing. Usually you hear about character archetypes like in films, right, or movies or books. But it's the framing, it's the description, it's the elements, the characteristics, the traits of what makes that person or team who they are. And it's a really important part of my handicapping, especially when we get to the NBA playoffs. Where are the spots, the situations? Where, when, why, how can we count on these teams and how can we not? Because all these teams are made up differently, right? Their makeup is all different. They have strengths, they have weaknesses, but they also have personalities, tendencies, right? Sociological tendencies and norms. And you talk about two teams who look very similar on paper, but their archetype is way different. The Cavs and the Knicks. The Cavs just might be too young and inexperienced. And I know Donovan Mitchell is doing his best to keep his team afloat, but you can't help but notice it, right? Like Evan Mobley just kind of playing scared. Jared Allen just not quite himself. Darius Garland had a really hot second half for the Cavs in game four, but wasn't enough. Hasn't been consistent in this series. Meanwhile, the Knicks, they're playing like they should with their experience level because let's face it, this is a team, when you talk about their archetype, high chemistry at this point. High chemistry. They've had Derrick Rose for a while. I know he's not playing much anymore. Still a good influence on their bench. They've had Obi Toppin. They've had Julius Randle. They've had Mitchell Robinson for a few years. RJ Barrett for a few years. Emmanuel Quickley for 3 years. The core of this team is there. And Tom Thibodeau has been there as well, right? So they know who they are. They have a culture. They have a grit. They have a moxie to them. And Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, they can fit anywhere, right? They're gamers. And Josh Hart, perfect fit for the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau and his emphasis on defense and just hard-nosed basketball. Jalen Brunson, not great on defense. His defense has been pretty porous in a lot of situations, actually. But but his offense and the way he leads the team in big moments is crucial. It's what the Knicks needed. Now, maybe Cleveland needs to feed Garland a little bit more. He certainly had his way with Jalen Brunson in the second half and with that Knicks defense. And the shots just weren't falling for Donovan Mitchell, right? Like, he had a lot of good looks, a lot of good shots. I couldn't count how many shots of his went around the rim and out. But it's just mind-blowing to see the offensive inefficiency in this series. Like, something has to give, right? And now the Cleveland Cavaliers going back home, a super desperate spot for them, down 1-3. Again, they're at home. We saw their highest scoring output, or their best offense at the beginning of game two when they had to respond. I think we might just see an over tonight, and I would consider taking Cleveland early in this game. But I do think that the Knicks are the better team, and I think, again, those intangibles, right? We talk about the archetype of these teams. The intangibles are what matter, and I just think that the Knicks are more game ready for these NBA playoffs. They've been here before, right? Donovan Mitchell has been there before for the Cavs. That's about it as far as guys who matter on the team. I'll just say I think this one ends at Madison Square Garden, but I would not take the Cavs tonight. In fact, I would go with the Knicks plus 5.5. Probably going to be a really tight game again. The Knicks aren't going to let themselves fall behind 20 points in the first quarter like they did in game two. Over tonight, lean Knicks, and I think this one ends at MSG in game six. Really, really fun series to watch, though. And, man, is it awesome to see Madison Square Garden lit up like that. I mean, are you kidding me? Is there any better place in sports, any arena better in sports than when Madison Square Garden is going off like that? You see the celebrities in the stands, but they're different kinds of celebrities, right? They're different. They're New York, you know, they're kind of gritty. You know, they care. You know, it's not like you go to LA and there's like the Kardashians are there, right? And like OBJ is there because he's at every NBA game and like, you know, whatever. Okay. But these New York celebrity fans, they care, right? They're always there. So it's awesome to see MSG and Knicks playing better, playing well in the playoffs. And I think they have the better or the more fit archetype to win this series and keep on trucking on in these NBA playoffs. Let's talk Memphis Grizzlies and Los Angeles Lakers. And again, let's talk archetypes. You know, maybe it was a light bulb moment for Memphis in games 3 and 4 because – maybe this brash young attitude that this team has, maybe it's not working, right? Because as far as archetypes go for Memphis, they're attackers, they're physical, right? They can be defiant, crass, but they're a bit overconfident, aren't they? For a team that hasn't accomplished really anything yet, nothing. They don't have one single Western Conference title, one NBA title. They don't have an MVP award on that team. Not that that even matters for the team, but they don't. A little bit overconfident. Meanwhile, the Lakers, they could be in their heads too much at times. AD is inconsistent for sure. Now he's injured again with his hip. He's still playing, but he's injured as always. But this is a team who knows who they are, right? They're not overconfident. In fact, they seem pretty humble, right? They're ready to come and play every single game. And a lot of that is probably LeBron's leadership. But when he trusts in the role players, when there's a trust on a team with LeBron, the chemistry, the functionality of that team can go beyond what most teams can because of what LeBron James brings to the table, because of the respect that he garners across the league from refs, from the opposition, and from his own team. And we saw what he can do in these games, right? LeBron James, what he's doing at 37 or 38 years old, I forget which one I always do when I'm about to talk about him. But for his age, what he's doing is insane. Again, it's still insane. I've said that on this podcast before, but like we got to give this guy his props even still. This dude has 52 rebounds in 4 games. He had 20 rebounds in that last game against the Grizzlies. He is killing the Grizzlies on the boards. He's killing the Grizzlies in every way that matters as far as, you know, blue collar, in between the trenches, like nuanced basketball, right? Just like playing basketball and making the right plays and the right reads and the right passes. He's killing them. And he gives the Lakers so much confidence, right? Because if LeBron has confidence in his team, you have confidence in yourself. So guys like Austin Reeves feels very confident to attack the rim, make the right passes. D'Angelo Russell, great role for him, great B role for him, right? He's not the kind of guy that can lead a team or co-lead a team. But he's a good point guard who originally landed in LA, and now he's back for his retribution tour, right? But a lot of these guys, they just fit really well in their scheme. They're obviously a really big team. Like we said, we thought that was going to be a problem in this series, and it has been. So game five tonight, Lakers plus four. First of all, I would just consider taking the Lakers money line. Why not? Because I'm concerned for the Grizzlies that LeBron and this Lakers team has stole their soul. They're young. They've been humbled. They're inexperienced in these moments. They haven't accomplished anything. And if you think LeBron James and the Lakers are going to hold back or slow down or not be as physical in game five, you know, we talk a lot about like these motivational angles for these games. And it's true, right? Like I would take the Cavs early tonight in a bounce back. I would take the Bucks early tonight and full game really in a bounce back. Yeah. But what also matters is how good the team is and how capable they are. And I don't think that the Grizzlies are that much better than the Lakers, where they're just going to get into a different gear tonight and cover this line minus four at home. Now, they play better at home for sure. They play great defense in game, what was that, game two? And in response, I don't know. Lakers have been playing really well, and they're still riding a lot of momentum. Lakers are the team you don't want to play in the playoffs right now. And speaking of special players and teams, Ja Morant is special. He's very special. But that dude falls way too damn much. And maybe there's an issue with his shooting hand, right, with that wrist and the finger and everything that's going on there. So maybe that's why he's not shooting as much. But expect the Lakers to adjust to that and continue to make life hard for him. He ain't going to just roll right into the rim and slam dunk over LeBron, Anthony Davis, and all these dudes. Like, he's going to fall. And eventually, maybe he gets a little more gun-shy. I mean, Ja Morant is probably 50 pounds under me. And I'm not overweight. Like, I'm not, like, a fat dude, you know? So, like, Ja Morant, man, you're going to get injured, dude. That's the bottom line now. All right, let's move on to the Heat and the Bucks. First of all, Jimmy Butler, talk about special. That performance in game four from Jimmy Butler in Miami was the closest thing that I've seen to a Michael Jordan or Kobe-like performance in some time, man. Now, obviously, LeBron's done that before and he takes over games. But you talk about start to finish, isolated, solo dominance, Jimmy Butler. The first quarter, didn't do much in the second quarter. I'm sure he had to rest after that first quarter. He scored like, what, 23 points? 24 points. But full game, I mean, that's all Jimmy Butler, man. Like, scored what? Pretty much half their points. Making plays on defense. Sneaking behind the old Lakers defense and getting open, the wide open court. Catching the Lakers off guard, just doing everything, man. Making adjustments on the court, extremely high IQ. Jimmy Butler, again, he's just not praised, lauded, acclaimed as much as he should be. He's one of the best in the NBA, and he's proven that. You know how hard that is to go against Jrue Holiday and Giannis and the Bucks in a game where the Bucks have to win, and you put up that kind of performance over 50 points in a playoff game? Like, we don't see that these days. Probably not going to see it again in the NBA playoffs. But Jimmy Butler, man, give that dude his flowers. He's special. Unfortunately, it's very unlikely that he's going to do that in every game of the series, right? And he would probably have to for the Heat to win. I mean, Duncan Robinson has been hitting at an insane rate right now since Tyler Hero went down, especially. Only shot 1-3 in that first game, but since then, 13 of 17, well, since then, 12 of 16, but 13 of 17 overall from beyond the arc. Duncan Robinson's three-point shooting, are you kidding me? That's going to regress a little bit. Bam Adebayo is unlikely to ever have a big game against the Bucks. The Bucks just have too much length and size, and he's a little soft. He's a little reluctant. Like, sorry, Bam, but you are. And you're absolutely not consistent. Like, I know you got 20 points per game this year, but again, like, stats like that don't matter to me. You know, that's taking into account, I mean, he could have 6 points against the Bucks in a regular season game and have 30 points against the fucking Thunder. And then we're all like, he scores 20 points a game. Like, no, in big moments, crucial moments, I don't see Bam stepping up very often at all. And I'm not going to count on him in this game. So, or count on him in this series. So again, we have a situation where it's Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler playing perfect basketball, or the Heat lose. Believe it or not, I would lean Bucks minus 11.5 tonight. That's how much better than the Heat I think they still are. They're at home, obviously a must win, and expect a huge game from Giannis tonight. Huge. After Jimmy dominated the Bucks, do you think that MVP Giannis, two-time MVP Giannis, is going to want to get his in this game at home in order to ensure that his team gets a win? Yeah, damn right he is. And you're damn right he will. I love his PAR. I think he's going to be involved in everything. Had 13 assists in that last game. And usually it's rebounds and points that are his highest totals. Look out. Warriors and the Kings. Man, you talk about archetypes. The Warriors are looking at themselves in the mirror, man. A younger version of themselves. Because Sacramento has Moxie. Their ball movement has been brilliant. They're tougher than you think. They can play great defense when they need to. They play at a crazy fast pace, a high tempo. And although they don't have as many gifted shooters as the Warriors, they infiltrate the paint. They get open. They find ways to score, don't they? And the Warriors, if anything, were a little lucky to win that last game. Sacramento played really well down the stretch, played really well at the beginning. Usually the better team plays well in the first and fourth quarters, right? And Sacramento has done really well in those quarters for the most part in this series. But good fortune, good luck, can be a catalyst for teams as good as the Golden State Warriors. And this just comes down to, again, you talk about archetypes, who these teams are. Is it the hardened older man with dad strength? Or is it the youthful athletic stud that wins the fight? Because typically, if you're the Kings, you need a little bit more experience to take that next step. And we're talking about the NBA champions from last season. So they have to take the next step and beat the NBA champs from last season. And that's the biggest question, right? Are the Warriors kind of sort of done? Is that dynasty or is the championship era kind of over? According to their last two wins, where they showed a better side of themselves, still very flawed in game four, but they ended up getting a win. Series tied at 2-2. I don't think Golden State is willing to give that up just yet. Now, the Kings have been incredibly consistent and impressive this year, winning on back-to-backs, winning in tough spots, and kudos to Mike Brown for much of that. He is the elder statesman for this team who can lead them through the tough times. But when it comes to what's actually happening on the court, here comes dad, right? And here comes your uncle. And in big time moments, they step up, right? Like when the burglar comes to the house, who's confronting them? Your 48-year-old dad or the 21-year-old kid who lives at home? Dad is confronting the burglar. That's who the Warriors are. They're dad. They're your dad. They're your uncle. And they're still, they got that old man strength, experience, poise. If the Warriors escape this series, ladies and gentlemen, watch out, because they're going to be a matchup problem for everyone else. Everyone else is bigger, right? Like the Nuggets, even the Suns, a little bigger than the Warriors. Sure. Lakers for sure. More physical, bigger. But the Golden State Warriors are like Tyreek Hill. They're like Odell Beckham in his rookie season or second season. You might be a big physical cornerback, but you're not stopping the speed and agility of Tyreek Hill or Odell Beckham, right? And the Warriors, the way they move around the ball, the way they pass the ball, the way they play at home, their shooting, the way Steph moves without the ball, they're going to tire the hell out teams like the Suns, Nuggets, or Lakers. So if the Warriors end up winning this series, watch out for them as a live as the Western Conference champ or the NBA champ, because then I think we're going to see a much better version of them, especially now that Aaron Wiggins and Gary Payton II have gone integrated into this roster and into the rotation. It's only going to get better. And I think Wiggins has played well. I mean, is he completely comfortable yet? No, but he's playing well. He's finding his shot. He's finding his defense. Tonight, I would lean under in this game, 235. That's a bit high for me. I went on the under in game four. That did not work out. But with the De'Aaron Fox injury, you know, when you injure your finger, it absolutely affects everything you do on the court. Everything you do in basketball is about your hands, right? You're catching the ball, you're passing the ball, you're shooting the ball, you're taking it to the rim, your hands are getting hit. It's going to affect him. The Warriors' offense, we've seen clearly, isn't as effective or efficient on the road. And the Sacramento Kings' defense has been awesome at home. So I expect this to be lower scoring, more nerve-wracking. It's a 2-2 series. Watch out tonight for a very physical game. But watch out for those Warriors with De'Aaron Fox injured. They might just get that road win tonight. They might just. Lean Warriors as well. I'm just going to comment really quickly on this series. I'd be shocked if Boston didn't beat the Hawks. But two things to say. First of all, it's the same thing always with the Celtics for me. As far as a team goes, I don't have enough positive attributes to say about their archetype. You know, they're cohesive. They can lock down on defense. They have great shooters. They have great wings. They have good front court defense and offense when they want to actually infiltrate the paint. Good coaching. Their coaching just, it's like a roll of, it's like the good coaches just keep on coming out of the woodwork. However, Tatum, to me, I don't know if he's that guy, man. And I say it every year. But we see him in these big game situations. Just kind of go away, get quiet, kind of like Devin Booker used to. Jaylen Brown, too. They kind of freeze a little bit. My buddy, who's a Celtics fan, said, especially when it comes to shooting threes and free throws. I can't speak to that like he can, but I can speak to Jason Tatum's clutch factor. Because I see it go away a lot. And I see, it seems like there's this expectation from the Celtics, like they should be winning. They should be going to the NBA Finals. They should. That's going to really catch them if they keep on acting like that. They're going to have to go through some hard fucking times to get to the NBA Finals, including against this Hawks team. Now you have to go back to Atlanta, and Atlanta's offense is finding its rhythm in the last few games. I mean, from what I can see, they're scoring over 120 points per game, right? Now they're at home where they score higher, better, they're faster paced. And oh, by the way, say what you want about Trae Young, and there's plenty to say about him this year. He's had a big ego, apparently, probably a problem for the team, thinking about himself a lot. But Ice Trae, man, he did it again. We've seen that from Trae Young at MSG, and we saw it last night at the TD Garden, man. Ice cold in the biggest moments, lights out, game six, going back to Atlanta. And that was all Trae Young. Without DeJounte Murray, the second best player. Pretty damn impressive. I like that moxie from Trae Young. And I know there's some other things going on off the court with Trae Young. From what we're hearing, we don't know everything. But it's kind of obvious, right? You can, like, see it on the tea leaves, right? But Quinn Snyder, a pro, a dad. Trae Young. Maybe he's not going to leave Atlanta. We'll see what happens there. But those are the kind of performances we were like, all right, well, this guy can be problematic, but holy shit, he can come up big when it matters most. And Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Devin Booker in the past, not everyone does. Not everyone does. And eventually that shit matters, right? Eventually that's what separated Tom Brady from everybody else, or Michael Jordan, or Kobe Bryant, or LeBron James. That's where they separate, is to win championships, they get to a different level. Still waiting to see that from Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I've already seen it from Trae Young. And there's a lot of other elements to Brown and Tatum's game that I'd much rather have than Trae Young, obviously. But is there anything more important than stepping up in those big moments like Trae Young can? I would argue there's not. That wraps this up, guys. 30 minutes of laying the points. Hit me up with a DM at Farley Betts. If you ever want any of my premium picks, would love to include you and bring you on to the team where we win, and we win a lot. Hitting still 55% of my straight-up ATS plays this year in the NBA. We're up 10 units in April. We're winning in baseball. We're winning in soccer. We're winning. And there's going to be a lot more to come this summer. As always, thank you all so much for joining me today. We'll be back next week to talk more NBA. Good luck with the NFL draft. I gave out picks to my premium customers. Not going to talk about it here because I haven't had as much time as I wanted to really invest in the NFL draft. But there's a lot of smart guys and girls out there who are investigating that. Listen to them. Enjoy watching that. Enjoy the NBA playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, see you next week.